is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast all about just about everything. We look at life through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We called that polished look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to take a step with us, take a look with us. This podcast is being brought to you by epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Yeah, you hear that running. Well, we are not running, but there's 17 of us. We are walking, team in her shoes. We are in the final countdown stages, just a couple days before we go on this incredible 39.3 mile. What is that? Translates to all of you kilometer friends. That is 63 kilometers we are going to be walking in Santa Barbara this coming weekend. And we're taking a lot of you on the ride with us. Thank you for all of your notes, all of your well wishes, the support you've been giving. And most importantly, thank you for your prayers. You know, we're going to be walking for breast cancer, part of the Avon Walk, with hundreds of other people, might even be thousands of other people, but we're going to be out on the California coast, beautiful coastline, and enjoying the air, but most of all, enjoying each other's company, walking 39 miles, 63 kilometers to put an end to breast cancer, to put an end to cancer, to find those cures, raising money. Each of us who are walking is responsible for collecting $1,800. Some of us have done a little bit more. Some of us, well, you can't do any less. You got to get in there. But it's been challenging, and our team is now seventh in the entire Avon breast walk. Our team is number seven, and I think quickly, as soon as our last donations come in, we should be number sixth. So imagine this, okay? Team In Her Shoes, a little offshoot of In His Shoes Ministries. With this simple philosophy that we have to walk in the shoes of others, right? To feel their pain, because at one time, well, we were without shoes. We were homeless. We were the victims of all kinds of tragedy. And here we are, a small group of descendants of the Armenian genocide, people who didn't even have shoes, okay, and out in the wilderness. Not only are we walking, but we are raising money. We are making a difference in the lives of so many people, including our own, and touching the world in a very unique way. Now tell me, is that the ultimate payback for evil? And that's why I tell you, that's what this is all about. That's what Armadoxy stands for. That's what our faith is about. That's what Jesus instructed us. Do not fear, little children, he said. The power of good is always greater than the power of evil. And we are walking, we are doing something different. Okay, so team In Her Shoes, we are coming in there with about $34,000 contributing to the pot. And all of this goes to cancer research. Every penny of it goes to research and finding the cures. And I'm talking as a survivor of cancer, my sister, a two-time survivor of cancer. And I know that every one of you who is listening has somebody dear to them. Now, as a priest, I've been a priest for 30 years, and I got to tell you, some of the hardest times in my life has been standing, walking with children of cancer. I'm going to share with you a couple little stories today, and just some beautiful stories, because I think it's very appropriate. If we're going to be walking to end cancer, what we need to do is we need to identify the culprit. We need to identify what that culprit and who that culprit is. My dad used to tell me, you got to know your enemy. And then we'd get into these little arguments because both my grandmothers spoke Turkish, but they would never allow us to learn it, okay? Now, they would use it as a secret language among them, okay? If they wanted to say something, behind our back, they'd go off and they'd... they'd talk Turkish, and we'd pick up words here and there. You know, we'd pick up these kind of funny, words that they would say. But they would never allow us to learn it, because why propagate a language of your enemy? I mean, these were the people that had destroyed their families, had destroyed to the tune of genocide their families. They weren't going to teach their grandchildren this language. And I'd have discussions with my dad about that, because I wanted to learn Turkish. And he'd say, you got to know your enemy. And one of the things that he was a proponent of, he would say, study about Turks, know what the Turks are all about, know what their psychology, what they're all about. And there's a lot of truth in that. You really can't go up against any enemy until you know who that person is, know what their strength is, and know what their weakness is. So think about that in terms of cancer too. I mean, if that is your enemy, and it certainly is an enemy, we need to know about it. We need to identify what it can do, what it can't do. And I think in so doing, we find some power to combat it. So that's where I want to go today. It's going to be a different kind of next step. I thank you for your responses to last week. I surprised myself too. Yeah, that Psalm 22 was just, I've shared this with you many times. As I start my sermons, as I start these podcasts, there's a simple little prayer that I offer to God. It's a psalm in itself. It says, Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise. And it is like such a beautiful little phrase, a psalm, a prayer that you can repeat to realize that your life, focus in, that your life has a purpose. It has a meaning. It's not there. Your mouth isn't there just to shout out different things, but to speak the praise, to talk about the goodness, and to talk about the victory. So I'm glad you enjoyed last week's next step. It was a very, very powerful one. It was certainly powerful for me, and I appreciate all of your responses. And it kind of gave me the encouragement to go in these kind of directions, maybe to do more specific Bible studies, in the sense that take a passage and really understand where it's coming from. And then on the other hand too, we talk a lot of times about Armadoxy being greater than the stories that make it up. I mean, obviously, anything, any entity is always greater than its components, right? So you got to think about what is Armadoxy and how does that all fit. So this has been a little intellectual and an educational challenge for me. But today we're going to be talking about the breast cancer walk coming up. And before I do that, we are on the autumnal equinox. Let's take a break right now and realize that the equinox is going to happen. That's a very, very special day for us. Yes, thank you, kids. Now back in the closet. Very, very special day for us. It is for me. And when everything kind of equalizes, right? I have been on the equator in Africa, right on the on the vernal equinox. This is the autumnal equinox, and that's a very special day for us here at Epostle. It marks the launching of Compass 1 year ago. Okay, I told you to get back into the closet, you kids. But it's okay. Anyway, 1 year ago, we launched Compass with Linda Zadoyan, and I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it this past week, but we went out at the Rose Bowl. Now, the Rose Bowl is where we have been, team in her shoes, under the very, very, very capable leadership of my sister Anuj. They have been walking around the Rose Bowl. It's about a little bit more than 3 miles, the circumference of it. So if you walk around it once, if you walk around it twice, you're at 6 miles. You walk around 3 times, holy moly, you're almost like, you know, you're like big time, you know? And so the other day we said, okay, we're going to be broadcasting. We're going to be broadcasting from the walk in Santa Barbara. We need to experiment. So we took the rolling studio of Epostle, this incredibly huge studio of one microphone, out to the Rose Bowl, and we walked around the Rose Bowl and we recorded. And you know what? Here's the interesting thing. We didn't know what it was going to sound like until we got back into the studio and downloaded the files. So we got back to the studio and it was fantastic. What quality! I mean, if you haven't checked it out, do check it out. It's Compass number 30. Listen to it. It's Linda Zadoyan, myself, walking around the Rose Bowl, talking what it means. And really, I mean, I want to tell you, honestly, we did it to just get sound check and really figure out how we're going to be broadcasting from the actual walk. But there were some little gems that came out of that, too. And then all of a sudden, as we're walking, we meet two parishioners from our church, husband and wife, Azad and Rima. Bedros, and it was really cool because we didn't know that they were going to be walking. They didn't know we were going to be recording. All of a sudden, we come face to face. And then throughout the walk, there's like just these adventures. You don't realize it that, you know, when you do something, you're so... like for instance, the walk, okay? You're walking around the Rose Bowl. Okay, your intention there is to walk. But then you look around and you see so many things happening. You see these bicycles, crew of bicycles. Maybe it starts off, I was walking around 3 o'clock. I had a little chance to break out of the office a little early that day. And I said, okay, I'm going to get a couple laps in before Linda came and joined me. So I was walking in maybe around 4 o'clock as people were getting off of work. You'd see one or two bicycles going around. But by 5:30, 6 o'clock, that group of bicycles had turned into maybe about 50, 60, and then by the end of our walk, they were maybe, I'd say, about 100 bicycles in a pack. And what they do is they ride the slipstream, okay? So 1, 2, 3, 4 bikes break up the wind in front of them, so everybody in the back is just kind of like going along for the ride, and it is fantastic, because when you're walking, all of a sudden you feel this incredible draft coming by, and you realize it's these bikes making this draft. Woo! So a lot of adventure out there. Golf course, on the other hand, you look at the people and you say, okay, here we are. We're walking around. There's these golfers, one guy in particular sitting on the golf cart smoking a cigarette. And, you know, those of you in Europe don't realize how anti-smoking our community has become here in America. I'm sure many different parts of the West, it's getting like that. But just here in Southern California, there is such an anti-smoking sentiment. In fact, I was just reflecting on it the other day. They were talking about the obesity problem here in America. It's gotten to be very, very big. And they're discussing it. And particularly, they're discussing it in terms of rights, in terms of the political climate, because, you know, both of the candidates for president come from two very diverse backgrounds, the Republican and Democrat. This year, you actually know that they are from different camps. And how much does government have an authority or have the right to regulate your life? And so obesity is not only a problem of physical proportions, it's also become a political problem. Like, when does the government get involved? How often should the government come in there and say, okay, don't eat this, don't do that. Well, certainly government has done that for smoking. And right now here in Southern California, you know, you hardly see people smoking. Very, very infrequent in their homes. I think it's allowed in their homes. In some areas outdoors, they're sectioned off little areas that you can smoke. And I realized that, you know, it's quite different from the obesity problem because, you know, you can go into a fast food place. You can go into a McDonald's. You can go into a Burger King and see somebody sitting down and putting down a few Big Macs or Quarter Pounders, whatever they're called. And no one's going to hassle them, no matter how big they are. But, you know, you go into that same establishment and you light up a cigarette, and you will get policemen in there. You will get escorted out by police. It's kind of wild, isn't it? It's kind of wild. You light up a little cigarette someplace, and it is almost akin to a felony. I don't know what the charges would be, but you do get law enforcement out there. They might even pull guns on you, like, hey, put that out. I mean, it is wild. And you would never think if somebody sat down at a Taco Bell, you know, or somebody sat down at the Burger King and put down a few, even a few Cokes, you know, think about how many calories in those giant Cokes that they do. They now serve these 32-ounce beverages. It's all sugar, you know. And then most of these establishments have these little areas where you can go and you can refill. So imagine you're putting down 64 ounces if you refill it even once. You're at 64 ounces. What is that? A half a gallon. Okay, you're downing a half a gallon of sugar. No one's going to pull a gun on you. No one's going to tell you to get out. But you light up one cigarette and hey, it's over. Interesting. Just kind of an interesting little thing because here we are walking around and you're looking around and you're seeing all this. So do check out Compass. That's what this discussion has been about, okay? To get you to check out Compass, where we walked around the Rose Bowl and saw a few different sites in preparation for this coming weekend. Hey, let me play the song of the day and then I'm going to come back in just a second, and a few seconds, and we're going to be talking about, well, this big enemy called cancer.
The poetry man, you make things all right. la, 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 la. You're going home now. Well, home's that place somewhere you go each day to see your wife, yeah, 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 to see your wife. Whoa. The poetry man, you make things all right. Oh, oh, talk to me some more. You know that you don't have to go. You're the poetry man, you make things all right.
Poetry Man by Phoebe Snow. That was a little dedication to my sister Anush, who is my poetry man. She makes things all right, you know, and she's doing an incredible job fighting off cancer twice. And she has been doing these cancer walks with Avon for how many years now? And this year she put together a team in her shoes. And we are going to be walking, and I'm part of that. I'm team in her shoes. I get to be walking too, having gone through cancer last year and beating it and being 1 year in remission now. And I just feel like, okay, you know what? It's not enough to just say, hey, I survived it. We got to do something about it. That's something that, well, my poetry man, my Anush, has taught me that, you know, you got to stand up. You got to stand up to what is wrong. And that, I think, as kids, we've grown and we've learned that against a lot of the injustices that take place. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Pussy Riots, and then we were talking about what happened in Armenia, and we were talking about injustice, the Martin Luther King statement that injustice anywhere, even in the smallest of nations, is an assault, is a threat to justice anywhere, everywhere. And you're seeing that, you know. I mean, we could look at it and the injustice of having a life, enjoying it, growing up, and then all of a sudden having it cut down because of, well, illness. You know, whether it's cancer or whatever it may be. Certainly, we just brought to mind Phoebe Snow, this beautiful song, Cut Down. I believe it was a brain hemorrhage or something. That she was not even 60, or maybe perhaps 60 years old. Again, by today's standards, you say there's an injustice over there. But how about when it happens to kids? It's an injustice. There's a whole life to be led, and then all of a sudden... You know, next week I'm going to be celebrating my 30th anniversary into the priesthood. And to tell you the truth, there's been many ups and downs. And some of the hardest times and probably some of the most rewarding times have been to sit and stand with victims of, and I use the word victim because it is really victimizing. And you know how I feel about that word. Those of you who have been listening, I don't use that freely because, you know, we are called to be victors in our lives. And certainly everything that Jesus points to in the resurrection is about victory. But these diseases have victimized people. And as much as it is physically, psychologically, if you're not up there psychologically, these things really, really victimize you. And as a priest, I've sat through too many of them. And I wanted to share with you some of those experiences. Well, most notably, I remember a little girl, 14-year-old little girl named Alyssa. She was at Stanford Hospital, and I was the priest at... in Cupertino at the St. Andrew Church. And so not too far away. And the priest from Fresno area, he gave me a call and he said, one of my girls is up your way at the hospital. Would you go and visit? And I went to Stanford Hospital and met with Alyssa and her mother. And my life changed. You know, it's you meet this incredibly brave girl, 14 years old, given very low odds of survival, fighting with her life, and yet the determination. And there were days when I saw her at her worst. There were days when I saw her at her best, but always struggling, always fighting, always being restless. And I remember, you know, my archbishop who ordained me 30 years ago in his speech, and these words always haunt me. He says, the Christian is a restless person. You can't rest as a Christian. You have to be a restless person. What is that? There's that little that little mantra, the Neil Young mantra. What was that? It was like, it's better to burn out than it is to rust. Yeah, you don't want to rust. You want to give life the whole shot. And when you see some of these cancer patients and the fight that they put on, and I remember sitting through so many of those sessions with her and her mother, and we'd go up, Susan and I would go up to the hospital, we'd visit, and I remember the final night, it was somewhere in Fresno, it was at a children's hospital. And they called me, and by this time I had grown so close to her that, you know, driving the 3 hours to get to Fresno was not even a consideration for me. You know, you just get in the car and you do it. This is your girl. We had known each other now for about a year in and out of the hospitals. And that final night, I'll never forget it, we slept on the bed and she was in the bed and she gave up her life. And you wonder, you say, what are we talking about? We're talking about some mutant cells? We're talking about some mutant cells doing this to a person? And, you know, is there healing? Is there a way that you can get out of this? And certainly as a priest who's talking about all the wonderful things about Jesus and God and all these beautiful things, this hits you in the face. This hits you in the face and says, wait a minute, injustice, okay, if this kid was 90 years old, you might compromise. I remember last year my oncologist told me, she says, you know, if you think about it, once you get up in the ages, everyone who turns 90, 100 years old ends up with cancer somewhere. But, you know, nobody's going to fight it at that point because your odds of living it out and everything, there's a ratio that you go through, so you're not going to be fighting it. But here we are, 14-year-old, a little girl, and she expired that night, and we had a funeral, and I remember the funeral just packed. It was in the Yedem St. Mary Armenian Church, and we were out there just, the scene that I remember, not only was the church and the balcony just jam-packed with people, but I remember the courtyard. They had amplifiers outside for us to speak and reach out to the people. And I remember it was about Alyssa, about celebrating her life, how important her life was in those 14 years, and how she had changed us. You know, so many times we talk about we want to create a better world for our children, thinking that we have the answers. Hey, are we listening to them? And realizing that the children really have some incredible strength, have some incredible power to change things. They are the poetry man. They make things all right. And it's an incredible thing when you really look at it from the outside. You look at the dynamics of what cancer can do and what cancer can't do. It can't break up your spirit, can it? It can't destroy you. It can destroy a few cells. It can destroy the body. But it can't destroy you. Sound familiar, doesn't it? Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. What are we talking about here? Talking about something greater. Life is not that body. And I remember when my father passed away. It must have been about 20, 21 years since he passed away. I remember at the funeral, you know, we had a little conflict between my sister, myself, and my mother. My mother wanted the casket open, and we kind of felt like, let's remember Dad the way he was, the life that he had. But, you know, after all, she is Mom, and she is his wife, and she went out. So we had the casket open, and I got to tell you something. I was really happy it was open, because I looked over, and I saw a body there without the life. And I realized that wasn't my dad. That was a shell. That was a body. That's not him. He was much more than that body. There was a life. You look at the the motionless fingers, and you realize these fingers were the ones that were playing incredible concertos on a violin. They were strumming, playing, picking, pizzicato, all these things. And all of a sudden, you see the lifelessness there. You say, that's not life. What am I looking at? I'm looking at a shell. I'm looking at this little home over there that housed a soul. And yes, with all reverence due to that home, I mean, it was a beautiful place, but it's finished. The soul lives on. I think when you start looking at life in these terms, when you have these death experiences, use them as opportunities to realize that there has to be something greater. Lately, we've been talking a lot. We've been hearing a lot of discussion, particularly since the discovery last, what was it, a few months ago, right? Of the God particle, right? Do you remember that? We did an entire session on that and realized that, what are we talking about? This is incredible. But, you know, more and more we're realizing that as you look out into space, as you look out, you know, tomorrow the space shuttle's landing here in Los Angeles area. I'm looking forward to going out there and seeing it as it lands. It's going to be housed over here. And within that space shuttle, there's the dream so many people had of really understanding. Why do you go out to space? It's to understand something greater than yourself. And now you've got these great physicists talking about multiple universes. In fact, billions of universes. And in that discussion, you have to wonder, what is our life? Is it confined to that small little area that you inhabit right on this planet? You look down at your feet and say, wow, that's it. Or is it something greater? I believe it's something greater, and I believe that when we have these death experiences, when we have these opportunities to challenge ourselves beyond the limits, we have an opportunity to really, really enjoy life for what it is. I want to share with you one more little incident that happened just last weekend. Again, going back into my ministry. Early times. This is about 25 years ago. A young girl was passing away. This was the first time that I had had to, as a priest, deal with cancer and a young patient. She was about 20 years old. Her mother called me, and she asked me to go. Her name was Ida, and I sat with this girl of faith. We prayed together, and within a few hours, she had expired. I knew her all for a few hours, but she taught me so much. In fact, after the funeral, her grave was a little spot that would be a little retreat for me because I would go. And yes, I just told you that the body was the house. But, you know, as much as we say that, it's also there is an honoring of that house, right? And you look at some of those historic monuments that they put up. Lincoln doesn't live in there anymore, but it is a monument. And you go up there and there is a house over there. And so, too, with these little shrines that we put up, with the grave sites, they are up their places. And any good architect will tell you, you need these spaces. You need spaces to define. And certainly I would go and define a lot of what was going on in my head. Opportunities to retreat and really write and contemplate the meaning of life. And so Ida really played a very large part in my life, probably because it was so early, but I remember feeling the injustice, the unfairness of life at that point, 20 years old and she was gone. And it was around the same time that a film had come out called The Last Temptation of Christ. And I talked to you about this last week in a different context. It was the book I talked about. The film had come out, and it was making all kinds of noise, all kinds of noise. It was very clever of United Artists who put it out. I mean, they went with the controversy. It got them all kinds of free publicity. They had Christian groups. They had churches boycotting and everything. And what happens when you're picketing well, it's like this movie that's out there. I think that... You know, the Muslim world is up in arms about this 15-minute trailer that was on YouTube. Probably if nobody mentioned it, it would have had 6 hits, 7 hits? Who would have watched it? Who would have even paid attention? I understand it was very poor quality. But because the entire Middle East, the entire countries are coming down, people are actually looking at this garbage. They're looking at it and they're saying, wow, here's a movie. You know what? These are stupid things. You need to put them all in perspective. And if you just ignore it, I know it doesn't go away, but at least you're not giving it credibility. And same thing with in The Last Temptation of Christ, what United Artists did so cleverly. They put it out there and built a controversy around it, which there shouldn't have been. It was basically an imagination of what Jesus might have thought was the last temptation, this opportunity to come off the cross, one final temptation. And certainly that to me is something powerful. You need to think about that. Why go through the suffering? Why go through the suffering when a girl is dealing with cancer? Isn't there a better way? Can't God stop it? Where is God in the midst of these cancers or these difficulties? Well, where was God on the cross? Why didn't God stop the actions that took place on the cross? We talked about it last week. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And then it gives you an opportunity to think, did he forsake us? Isn't there a bigger picture? Isn't there a bigger story? And certainly, being a young priest, dealing with a young girl dying in your hands, and then having all this commotion about a movie that is really questioning what you're questioning, really wakes you up all of a sudden and says, hey, wait a minute. Life is not about just opening up a Bible and saying, God loves me. God is bigger than that. It's not about me. It's about how does God interact with the world. It's not about my life. It's about the world. It's about God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten son. Got it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's a plurality there. It's not about me. It's not how he interacts with me. It's not a, and definitely I have this personal relationship. I believe God is working, but the way he is working is through the love, through that action of love, through the impact that we make on life. And so that's why we're going out there. We're going out there in Santa Barbara. We're going to be walking in love to say, hey, we want to make a difference. It's not enough to come and say, oh, too bad. And I know too many people who sadly are in this bereaving mode. They're in this mode of like, oh, too bad, you know, how awful. And there's a lot of victimization and wanting to be a victim. There's a victim mentality. But can you rise above that? That's what Jesus did on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Is the victim talking. But you continue on in Psalm 22 and you say there is a victory here because it didn't end on that cross. There is something greater than the cross. And that greater thing, of course, is the resurrection. And we're going to be walking out there in Santa Barbara with this in mind. We're going to be walking, carrying people's names with us. In a few minutes, I want to share with you some of the names that I'm going to be carrying with me and tell you why they're so important. But before we do that, I'm going to take a break because we have Ani's Bubbles. It's, you know, we've been playing the best of Ani's Bubbles recently. I'm going to play what she experienced last year on the breast cancer walk. This is from last year's Ani's Spiritual Bubbles.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is a special pink ribbon edition. As you know, last weekend my mom and I walked in the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer in Santa Barbara. It was a very long 39.3 mile weekend. And even though we've walked it in the past, the journey of our last year of cancer diagnoses and overcoming the worst made this more unique and more special, a true mother-daughter bonding experience. This year's walk was about celebration. Step by step, mile by mile, we celebrated life. We walked until we thought we couldn't walk anymore, and then we kept walking. After all, there's a lot to be celebrating in our lives. We walked this weekend, two pink pomegranates tied up with the ribbons of pink that laced all through Santa Barbara. We walked with survivors, with those walking in celebration of lives and those walking in memory of lives lost. We walked with those who fought with cancer in their bodies, taking in chemo and radiation through it all. And we walked with those who've been touched by it and have fought it in their hearts. We all walked because we can. We walk because we can't not walk. Last year, I read to you what was on my cancer bracelet. I still wear this every day. It's a reminder of what cancer cannot do. It can't corrode faith, shatter hope, destroy peace, or silence courage. Cancer can't invade the soul. It can't steal eternal life, nor can it conquer the spirit. Cancer can't corrode love or kill friendship. It can't suppress the memories we've held dear to us. I wear it to remind me that my life has been touched by cancer, not just once, but several times. And my life is still so full of so much more than what cancer can bring. That there is more to life than dealing with or living with a disease. So as I walked, I thought about this. And I realized that while there is so much that cancer cannot do, there still really is a lot that it can do. While in the darkness that is diagnosis, cancer can help spring to life that hope to live. It can inspire someone to live life to its fullest, to take those chances, to walk those 39.3 miles because she can. Cancer can ignite the faith in one's life, reminding us that we aren't alone, that with God, we can overcome anything. It can bring people together for a common cause, shattering those silent walls that we sometimes build up around us, allowing us to share with one another, to laugh, to cry, love, and make memories. Cancer can bring to light the courage that was hiding within, waiting for the right moment to shine its brightest in the darkness. It can help build up the strength inside us, even in our weakest moments. It can show us what it truly means to have love in our lives. You can have cancer, but it doesn't have you. It's a terrible thing, a disease that steals too many lives too soon. And even with today's medical advances, we haven't learned how to get rid of it completely. But we can learn from it. Let us be reminded of the hope within us all. That hope that can stand out, even in the face of darkness. Hope for a cure, hope for life and love and happiness. Let it remind us of the things that are truly important in our lives. For it's these things that cancer cannot and will not take away from us. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
A beautiful reminder what cancer can and cannot do. That's what it's about. Thank you. That was so beautiful. We're running a series of Best of Ani's lately. Ani's Bubbles, as she gets ready for a big turning point in her life. We're wishing her the best and taking advantage of some of the recordings that we have. That I know we get so many new listeners, and they may not have heard some of these bubbles. And I know, I guarantee, I know, for those of you who have been listening all along, you don't mind hearing a repeat, hearing a rerun of Ani's Bubbles, especially when they're so beautiful and to the point as this one was. Really kind of fits in, right, with everything else. I want to share with you some of the people that I'm going to be walking with spiritually, emotionally. I want to share with you their lives. But, you know, you walk with us. This ministry is made possible because of your prayers, your participation in this. And I want to give a chance, a real quick one, for Susie to tell us how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We are on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Okay, so you are walking with us, okay? When you partner with us, you are walking with us. All of this is made possible. In fact, next Wednesday, we're going to be celebrating my 30th anniversary into the priesthood. And I want you to tune in. If you're far away, you know, we're going to be streaming it on Epostle. Do tune in because, you know, most of the happiness and I think the joy of what this ministry is about is thanks to your participation. Thanks to you walking with us. The Apostle has come a long way. It's given us an opportunity to reach places that we otherwise could never conceive of. And again, it started off as a cancer. It was a cancer cell that came in and tried to destroy a ministry, but we were able to find the victory. And I want to share that with you next week. We'll be talking about that as we hit the 30th anniversary mark. But for today, you know, you're going to be walking with us. You're going to be there with us. Okay. You're going to be there with the Apostle. We're taking you along for the ride. And our prayers are with you. All of our partners who are part of this ministry, you make it possible for us to get out there. And so we're going to be walking with the team. The Apostle team is going to be there. Susie's going to be walking. We did like about a month ago. We went out to Ventura, close enough to Santa Barbara. We got a feel for the weather, and we walked about 6 or 7 miles that day. Of course, with my wife, Susan, every night we've been walking, sometimes with the dog, sometimes without, for about 5-6 miles. Wow. And there's the dog right now. And a couple nights ago, you heard some more dog barking as we were going around the Rose Bowl. We did about 10 miles that night with Linda. She'll be walking in the walk. And of course, Ani Bubbles will be on the walk. It's going to be a great time. Okay. There's 17 of us, and we're going to be in fellowship, putting an end, doing our best to say we are taking a stand against cancer. And you come along for the ride, okay? Now, I've always said this, and this week was probably never, it was never more pronounced than this week. I received stupid jokes from priests. Yeah, no fooling. I mean, you hear these jokes, and you get these jokes on your email accounts, and you forward them, people forward them. Hey, who has time to read these things? And yet, nobody takes the time to forward a little bit of goodness out there too. That the cross of Christ is a message of salvation. That, hey, here's a message of hope. Let's get that message out to people. And so that's how easy it is. That's what Susie's talking about. Your partnering in this is as simple as forwarding one of these broadcasts. Sharing the Apostle site, sharing the app with people. And that's what it's about, getting this word out, that there is a power of God. Got to share this really funny little story. We're talking about jokes. We went to the diocese last Saturday for a meeting for priests and parish council. And we had a very serious discussion. This guy got up, seriously, on behalf of the diocese, and he's talking really down to us too, you know. You will be surprised, he tells us, what technology can do for you. He says, you can put out a message, and your people can hear it. Whoa, shades of Orwellian 1984, 30 years later. It is incredible. I mean, you know, okay, give them a break. Okay, they're working in the Armenian church and catching up. But there was a humor to it. I mean, I was sitting with my parish council chairman, Azad, and we were sitting there kind of like looking at each other. Been there, done that. Okay, next. But thank you. Apostle, this is the way we're going. Okay, before we end, I want to just share with you some final thoughts and share with you who I'm taking with me on the walk. Because these are people not only just written on a piece of paper that I'm going to be carrying with me in the pocket next to my heart, but they are etched on my heart. These are people that have really had big, big impact on my life. I shared with you the story of Ida briefly and, of course, of Alyssa. But along with that, I've had the opportunity to know a little boy named Saro. A beautiful, beautiful lady named Avni who lost it to brain cancer. And some people who have struggled and have won and have survived, like Stephen and Norai, a wonderful young man who I've yet to meet, but I do pray for him every week. I remember my mother-in-law and, of course, her daughter, Susan, my wife, who stood with me through my cancer and so many things. I remember my sister, Anish, and though we're going to be walking together, something I've dreamed of since she first started walking several years ago. She's, of course, in my heart walking with me. And I'm going to be saying a special prayer for my doctors, Dr. Talar, Dr. Miran, two incredible physicians. When Dr. Talar was my surgeon, Dr. Miran next to me, and a couple other doctors, too. And finally, there is an inspiration in my life, and that is Leslie. She'll be coming with me, too. This was a lady I shared with you several years ago, and just an incredible story of what belief is, believing that if Christ is in you, there isn't a cell in your body that can overcome the Christ cell. Do you believe that? I do. And she showed it to me. If Christ is in your body, what power is there out there? Cancer? What power is there out there that can overcome? That could destroy that? Thank you, Leslie, and I'll be remembering her as well. That brings us to an end of today's show. I look forward to having you next week. We're going to have some sore feet, I understand. Maybe not, but next week we will be together and we will share another next step. Do listen in on Compass. Check out Apostle. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me, Father Voskin. I'll be tweeting Follow In His Shoes on Twitter. We're going to be tweeting. I believe Susie's going to be using the In His Shoes account. Of course, we're on Facebook, and you can friend us. All kinds of ways to get involved. And of course, join us at the mothership, inhisshoes.org, apostle.net, where you'll find today's podcast as well as all the other everything that we do. Want to do a quick little shout out to our friends over in London. They're celebrating their 90th anniversary as a community. Do check out. We'll put a link on our show notes today. Do check out their YouTube. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, we look forward to walking with you this week and seeing you next week. For Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, for Ani with her bubbles, for Linda, our compass lady, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.